The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. We are so pleased and proud to be associated with Ed Morse, more than 70 years of quality and service across the state of Florida. And these are your Hillsborough County Cadillac dealerships, Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. They are there for you. And of course, they're there for you on July 4th, 9 to 6 in Brandon, just east of 75 and south of the Selman Expressway. And 8:30 to 4 in Tampa at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, a 2017 Cadillac Dealer of the Year. Of course, they're there for you 24/7 and right now at their websites, edmorsecadillactampa.com, edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. All of their current offers are there. We always have some at joebucksfan.com as they come out. And you can trust them. You can believe in them. Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Happy Tuesday. It's the Ira Kaufman Podcast, July 3rd. We're here with the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the great, great sage. The sage wisdom will be flowing today, Mr. Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper is with us. And Ira, welcome. You got your Ed Morse Cadillac red on. Very sharp. Looks like you lost a little weight.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you, my friend. You know how to butter me up, Steven. The sage says we're less than a month from training camp. And Lee, don't you know it? First day of workouts, or the first day that the public can come out, I'm going to wear that sage shirt, and I don't care if it's 108 degrees. I'm wearing it. It's not white. I don't care about the color. I'm wearing that sage shirt, and I'm going to parade it in front of all of our listeners. How do you like them apples?
That will be very interesting, Ira. And you're talking about, of course, the shirt that actually says The Sage on it. It should be some quality cat calls.
My son said they added an extra letter. Should be The Sag.
Oh,
this is my loving son over there, Lee.
I thought it was your wife that bought that for you.
Well, she bought it, but my son says it should say The Sag. Where's the respect, the Kemper? I raised this kid. I bought him hot dogs and beans when he was hungry. Where's the respect?
We got to get him on the podcast one day. That would be fantastic.
He's in Omaha, Nebraska. Where's he going?
All right, well, we're not traveling. It's not in the budget, Ira. It's not in the budget. All right.
I thought he's moving to Orlando.
Well, he's got a house in Orlando, but he spends summers away from town where he does all his sales. And this year he's in Omaha. I don't think we're going to visit him, Lee. Last year he was in Denver. We went out there. Omaha, no.
Being a son of the Midwest, I can tell you Omaha gets pretty toasty, too. Not to mention their tornadoes.
Hold on. I want to give a little culture club right here.
Culture club.
You two guys need it.
George.
Who was born in Omaha? Marlon Brando.
Well, I was going to say Tom
Osborne. If you've ever heard of him, it's Marlon Brando. Streetcar named Desire. On the Waterfront. Godfather 1, gentlemen.
I already got you one-upped.
Your favorite movie, Lee? Last Tango in Paris.
Come on, Godfather.
And I think Bob Gibson.
Yes.
The great
Bob
Gibson.
I was going to one-up you. Bob Gibson, that's right.
So there you go.
Isn't Barrett Rude from Nebraska? I think he played there.
I don't know if he's from Omaha, but he played in Nebraska.
Yeah.
There's no question.
As did Jason Light.
Levante David?
Yes, Levante David played there. Yeah.
All right, Ira. Look, this is a long-awaited podcast. Feels like a long time.
Long-awaited.
Oh, I know you got questions. You've been waiting a week to ask me these questions.
Well, yeah, we got to put you on the fire. The fans are eager for that, but we will get there. We'll build up to it so we know everybody knows what's going on. And, of course, it was so great to hear that your podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Ira, the Jameis Winston report came out, meaning the NFL ruled he's suspended for 3 games. They basically labeled him a sex offender. They said that he touched in an inappropriate sexual manner the Uber driver, and that was pretty harsh. You know, they put it right in writing there, but we don't have details because we haven't seen the letter that was issued to Jameis that typically has all the gory details laid out, the whole case, if you will. And then Jameis responded with an apology that was very circular, very vague, very odd.
Very Jameis.
Very Jameis. So,
and then we've heard from the Uber driver with a statement that she says he needs to work on his apology. How do you like that one?
She's looking for a payday. That's why she wants him to work on an apology.
That was fun. I give her credit for her good sense of humor there. Now, Ira, let's start with the Jameis report from the league. What are you getting out of this? What are you feeling out of that?
Lee, I know it's your inclination here. Don't label me a deviant just because I want details. Mm-hmm. I told you 2 weeks ago, I want details. And now I say it again. I want details. Now, for anybody that's trying to read in, well, Kaufman's backtracking because he said something about overwhelming evidence. And it looks like the evidence was overwhelming enough for the Shield. But I still want the details. And I thought it was going to leak. It hasn't leaked yet, Lee. Usually these things leak. That six-page explanation that went out, I assume they sent it to the Bucks. I assume they sent it to Winston. Got to explain the reasonings behind their decision. I want to know it. I want to see it. I don't have to have graphic pictures of Winston. I don't need a police sketch with his hand on her privates. I don't need that. But I want the story behind the story. But we already know more than we already wanted to know, Lee, in that Jameis isn't denying anything. He's certainly not saying anything like he did when the BuzzFeed report came out. Mm-hmm. He's totally off that. I wish he didn't respond as forcefully as he did when the BuzzFeed came out. That doesn't make him look good either, Lee. So, look, the league did what they're going to do. Half the people have been out of shape. Why didn't he get six games? It's supposed to be the baseline. Jameis Winston's not the first guy that's gotten less than six games, Lee, since this ruling came out. I believe that Goodell's got a lot of leeway in this regard, and he's using it. So for whatever reason, they want this thing to go away, Lee. You're not going to appeal it, chop it up. Nobody will be talking about that, and nobody would have been talking about that. But today we hear that Jameis cut ties with his agent. So he's back in the news again, Lee. But it will die out. It will die out, then it will resurface when the Bucks show up in training camp.
I got a lot of things to say, but I want to eat up that much time.
Well, go ahead. We got time, we'll stick to the report.
It's going to stick to the report. There's things I know and things I think. I think he did it. I don't know he did it. People got to remember, the NFL is not a court of law. It's not a state's attorney's office. We don't know what kind of evidence they have. For all we know, it's still he said, she said. We do know someone with the NFL and Goodell's team negotiated this down to three games. Why? Why? Did Jameis' people have something on Goodell? Did Goodell, when I say Goodell, I mean the NFL in general, did they not have enough evidence? Did the NFL want Jameis try to force him into some type of counseling? I'm starting to believe what Keyshawn said about Jameis. There's something to it. There's something mentally weird.
Well, I've never heard you say that before, Lee. That's kind of ominous in and of itself.
There's something mentally not clicking. I mean, everybody you talk to, football IQ, it says off the charts. He was accepted into Stanford academically. They don't give it out to village idiots.
Lee,
but he keeps doing the same stupid stuff.
Lee, you and I have been around this guy for 3 years. We don't see anything off base with his mental faculties.
No, but I don't know. Here's something I do know. He plays the role of a wrestling heel excellently. I'm almost wondering if all this is show. You know, I don't know if he's 100% guilty or not. Something weird happened. That's why I think. But I'm wondering if one of the reasons, again, I'm speculating, Goodell went back to three games, Goodell being the NFL, was they wanted Jameis to get counseling. I don't know that.
Steve, three quick points I want to make.
Hey, why is everybody in a hurry? We got a podcast.
Right.
Relax.
Steve, three points on the NFL announcement. One, Jameis's original response isn't holding up. It's not holding
Obviously
up.
Obviously not.
Two, and I'm going to say it right now, definitively. He doesn't have a defense for what happened that night. He can't remember. He can't remember
what
happened. Which
is damn near guilty.
He cannot remember. You got one side giving details of an allegation.
Yeah.
The other side offering, I don't know what happened. what are you going to do if you're the Shield? What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Three.
It looks bad.
And a lot of people don't think this is a factor. We don't know that until these darn details come out. Three. He didn't report it.
Have
he didn't report it. It's a fact. Unless Carter's lying, or unless you say, well, the Bucks knew about it and they didn't bother to tell the head coach. Nobody's going to believe that. If the Bucks knew, Carter knew.
Well,
So either Carter's lying when he said, I found out, yesterday when the BuzzFeed, or he didn't report it.
Well, Carter was the only guy saying that.
So one, two, three, boom, boom, boom. That's three marks on Winston. That's tough. Now, that could lead to say, well, why didn't he get six games? Well, it goes back to my original thing. Let this thing go away. Don't appeal it. Apologize. Go to counseling. It's all wrapped up in a pretty bow. And this negotiation session, gentlemen, tell me if I'm wrong, it's been going on for weeks, if not months.
Months. The part about the appeal, I think, is fairly big because let's say they didn't have evidence enough. And obviously this really gives Jameis a scarlet letter. as Steve Smith said on Good Morning Football, he'll never get off. That'll always be with him, always. And this is coming from a guy who himself was
well, Damian Woody, he topped that one. Damian Woody, get rid of him. Chop him
well,
up.
Well, he was not the only Damian Woody. I hope he held his Jets teammates to the same standard when he was in the locker room. Here's what I do know, under the umbrella I do know. Jameis lied. Jameis hung his teammates out to dry. Jameis hung his coaching staff out to dry. Jameis hung the front office staff out
anything
to dry.
Anything else, Lee? Anything else?
That is, to me, that's almost as bad as what he's accused of doing. And that's heinous. Don't get me wrong. It's vulgar at best. If he did
indefensible.
That. Yeah, you can't defend that, even though Trump and Trudeau allegedly have both done it.
It's got nothing to do with you.
I know, but people like to say, hey, if you're backup Trunky, you got to back up Winston, which is nonsense. But anyway. Guys that their guys'
up.
Careers, livelihoods,
at the
families could be screwed over because of this. But the potential 0-3 start, Cutter very well could be gone. Monk, the whole coaching staff, they got families, they got mortgages, they've got car payments, and other teammates, they could be bounced.
Not to mention, Winston has already, I believe, cost himself tens of millions of
dollars. Oh, yeah. And Deshaun Jackson, what do you think Deshaun Jackson's really thinking? I know what he told TMZ.
He might be thinking Fitzpatrick can get me to football.
Well, he's thinking, I believe he's thinking, what the hell did I do? He came here because he wanted to play for Jameis. He took less money. He's like, what the hell did I get myself into?
Have you been writing anything down?
Oh, yeah, sure, of course.
I've been writing down for 3 minutes here.
No, I was going to play defense attorney. What? Because I know a lot of fans, or everybody's all over, or there's maybe four different camps of fans. What exactly, Lee, is Jameis's lie?
Did he lie? Did he not say, I believe she is mistaken? I was not in that Uber?
No. He said he was in the Uber. There were three passengers. He said that she was mistaken about the numbers of passengers. That's what he said.
Well,
it doesn't exactly look like you're telling the truth there.
No, I'm asking what's the because a lot of fans are, hey, what's the lie?
Did the NFL use GPS to out them?
I don't know. I don't know.
My read of the NFL, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but my read is there was an Uber drive that happened that night where Winston was in an Uber vehicle by himself with a driver. I didn't say that there wasn't a second Uber drive where he was in there with two other guys. But there was a time when he was the only passenger. You wouldn't get that from Winston's account after BuzzFeed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. He said that this driver was mistaken. There were three people in the Uber and nothing happened. And so we don't know. We still don't know exactly what.
We do know he didn't report it.
Lee, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he definitely didn't
really
report it.
Steve, That's like a juvenile stunt.
I think it's a lie because, quite frankly, he can't recall what happened. And that BuzzFeed statement was definitive that it didn't happen. And I think right now we realize he doesn't know what happened. He doesn't know.
So I'm just playing defense attorney here,
I know,
Sage.
I know.
You're telling
Barry
me
Mason.
The word think. I don't know. I'm just asking, what do we know? And that's part of the problem here. The NFL hasn't laid out that letter, which, as you mentioned before, would spell out the nuts and bolts of what the deal is. They would be able to tell us, well, there was one Uber with the three of them, and then they called back the same driver, and she was cool with it because she drove with them before. So she's like, all right,
a different driver.
Whatever, the details, and maybe he got in alone, and then who knows what. Maybe he came back, she picked him up again, and then he did what he did. We just don't know.
There's something else I know. He's not a leader. He's not a leader. Leaders don't pull those kind of stunts. Leaders don't try to run over a suit after a loss, Carolina. Leaders don't try to blame Marcus Lattimore for Lattimore getting punched by Jameis on the sidelines. He's no leader. I want him to stay, but he's no leader.
The Kemper's making a heck of a case to get rid of number three.
But no.
Whether he wants to or not.
No.
He's making a heck of a case. And I'm going to chime in a little later when you pin me down.
Well, it was funny because Lee was about to kill you, and then you said whether he wants to or not. And Lee's like, okay, that's not my case.
The quarterback's not a leader. I mean, that's not a compliment.
Look, Lee is on the money here. The guy is not a leader. He hasn't proven to be a successful one. And
the face of the franchise.
Leaders don't operate in the way Jameis has since this was reported. And we know he didn't report it to the Bucs, just to clarify that. Aside from that's what we were told. If he reported this to the Bucs were then obligated to report it immediately to the league. That's the rule.
Yes.
So if the Bucs didn't do that...
So in March of 2016, the Bucs would have done that.
Right. And if they didn't, there would be a huge fine coming to the league through to the Bucs already.
Oh, yeah.
And that's not going on. So that's a very safe
bet. What about Jameis's statement last week? Jameis's apology, so to speak. You okay with it? It was very vague.
I'm not sure what he apologized for. I'm okay with that. You know why? Who in their right mind is going to say, yeah, you know, I shoved my hand at, and he's setting himself up for a lawsuit and for the Arizona cops to pinch him. I mean, come on.
If you didn't do anything, Steve, why are you apologizing?
Well,
part of the deal.
That's
part of
the negotiation. The whole deal.
What put your reputations on the line, Lee?
Would it have been worse if the NFL said, okay, here's our evidence, he did it, 6 games? I mean, he was doomed either way. A scarlet letter kind of thing. He was doomed. The NFL could have came out and said, oh, everything was cool.
Why did he say he was disappointed with the NFL decision?
Well, the whole thing is very sad in the sense that if the NFL had a rock solid case, rock solid, meaning like, hey, it's all here. We got a video. We got everything perfect. They would just suspended him 6 games and said, Jameis, be happy.
You want to appeal? Go appeal.
Go waste your time and look like an idiot. But it's not such a simple case. And Jameis, he did a deal with the devil, basically. The NFL said, you know what? Everybody now for the rest of your life will wonder, why didn't he appeal? How could he not appeal? His reputation is on the line. Boomer Esiason screaming that on New York radio.
Boy, defend yourself.
Defend yourself. Russ Tucker on Sirius saying, if that's me, I'm going to the mat to the death. I didn't do it. Jameis has already made X millions of dollars. He's loaded, set for the rest of his life.
The Pete Rose excuse?
I don't know the Pete Rose.
Well, Pete Rose, you know, he accepted his suspension when he was banned for life by Giamatti.
Right.
And everybody and their brother was like, if you're really innocent, why the hell aren't you fighting it?
Right. So,
and we, as it turned out, 10 years later,
he had already said he didn't do it once.
Right. That's a tough spot when you think about it. A 24-year-old guy is willing to not appeal. Now, and frankly, Ira, if we accept your premise of, hey, he was so drunk, he doesn't really know exactly what happened, that doesn't mean he believes he did it. Doesn't mean he believes he did it. I bet if you strapped up Jameis to the lie detector right now, he'd probably pass.
Can't defend himself.
Right. Can't defend himself because the case stinks. So the NFL has decided, hey, we want this shady justice scene and we'll do deals. But that's how the American justice system works as well. So it's unfortunate. But now we sit here with Jameis. One thing before we hit on the next subject you brought up, what we do know, and it's something I want to ask you, Sage, for later. We do know Jameis was a complete moron. Now, to do what he did, to get himself into that hassle, Lee's favorite word these days, to get himself into that hassle 11 months after he was drafted, to do that after everybody and their brother, we had all the investigative teams and he met with Goodell.
He's clean
and he told everybody, you know, judge me by my actions and he's this, he's that. 11 months? You didn't know you're not supposed to go out and get loaded and act like an idiot in public? And then jump and do whatever you did. You know, Jameis admits he made her feel uncomfortable. He does apologize for something. And on the apology, it just could have been phrased better. He could have just said, I apologize for the events of that night. I'm disappointed in the NFL's ruling. I don't agree with it, but I accept it.
See you later.
And apologize to the fans and everybody. And the phrasing was just weird.
Now, Lee, I got a quick question. We've heard from the Uber driver, known by the name Kate. And she took a little, little dig at Jameis. Got to work on his apology or whatever. Lee, you have any confidence based on her statement that this is the end? There's not going to be any criminal or civil charges.
No, zero. I'm not saying she will, but the door is certainly
open. You don't draw anything from that statement that she's fine with the way things went down, and that's going to be the end, Steve.
And that could be part of the negotiation.
Is she fine in your eyes, or? You never know.
We don't know if she signed a non-disclosure agreement with the NFL. I brought this up before. If she already collected a check from the NFL to not disclose anything, then it's over. But we don't know that. Now, that's the likely scenario that the NFL said, we're so sorry what happened. We're going to do a deal with Jameis. It's $250,000 okay. And you just sign here and that's it.
Boy, that's an expensive Uber ride. That's a nice tip off an Uber ride.
But that's the likely scenario here. But we will never know that. Now, Clay Travis, who has a national show, I don't know if you know who he is, Ira.
Notorious Jameis hater for years.
He's a former attorney. He called the Arizona Scottsdale Police Department. He's a former criminal attorney. And he called them and had a nice discussion with the folks over there and somebody else in Arizona. They, according to Travis, they don't prosecute unless there's a complaint. They won't even look into it in this type of situation. But she's welcome to...
Even in a domestic disturbance type of situation?
In this type of situation, they don't do anything unless there's a complaint. and she is welcome to complain at any time, and they will open a criminal investigation. That's what he's putting out on Fox Sports on his radio show. And civilly, I don't think I think the time ran out on it, but my guess is that she's been paid off by the NFL. That would make sense.
Well, what Lee said also might bear some validity in that it goes to the vagueness of Jameis's apology.
Yeah, he's not going
to is trying to ward off, you know, liability. Sure. in a suit.
Yeah,
and that makes sense.
He's not going to set himself up to get sued or get pinched. With Clay Travis, there may not be any person with the possible exception of Michelle Beadle. No one would love to dance on Jameis's grave more than Clay Travis. Now, I'm not saying what he said is wrong. He may be right. But when
does
it comes
this go back to when the Bucks drafted him?
Before, when he was at Florida State. All the shenanigans when he was a freshman. Notorious Jameis hater. So anything he says about Jameis, now, in that regard, what you said, Steve, he was talking about the cops and the procedures in Arizona. It's,
yeah.
I believe that. But anything he says about Jameis, I wouldn't give a nickel's worth. Because that guy is so one-sided.
Yeah, actually, in the same segment, he was primarily expressing that he felt bad that Jameis had such horrible handlers and was diving into just the absurdity of Jameis's various statements and who's working for this guy. And, of course, now we learn that he has new representation. Who knows? Now, Ira, two things that are very important, very important. We are 1 month and 1 day from the training camp takeover. Training camp takeover, that's when fans organize the stick carriers, but anybody can go. There's no stick carrier membership card. Everybody goes to training camp and treats it like a divisional championship game.
That's a day for the general public, correct?
Open to the public, Saturday, August 4th, training camp takeover. Justin Pulaski, the stick carriers, will be going wild. Get your tickets now because you have to reserve free tickets. You can get the links off Buccaneers.com.
It won't be a bleacher thing. Not a bleacher
thing. No bleachers. We've discussed the lack of bleachers. Ira wants shade. He's upset. Not happy.
Throwing some shade over there,
but I know the stick carriers are very excited to roam around. I was talking to Justin. He's eager to have, you know, the group of 2,000.
You move them around. You move them around.
Get over to the offensive line one-on-ones and start screaming it up against the D-line and get inside the indoor facility and make that thing loud and rocking. And so they're excited about it. But get your tickets because those tickets, they're free, but they will sell out. The Bucks are only printing like 4,000 tickets per training camp day with an understanding that there will be some people who don't show up. And I talked to Brian Ford. He said the goal is to let everybody in. They've got some leeway here. They're not trying to screw anybody, but you still have to go get tickets. So you can get 6 per person and go get them.
When you say you talk to Brian Ford, for people who don't know, he is
chief right-hand man of the Glazers, whatever they tell him to do, he says, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir.
Has some passion been lost from the stick carriers? Or 5-11 and the Jameis situation?
Well, of course not, Ira, because there's also the Bourbon Street takeover.
Look at you, Steven.
And the stick carriers are fired up. Fans are fired up for opening day. They may be pissed off now, but they are.
Football's football.
Football's football.
Hey, I'm the guy that says it's a team sport. Go out and kick a little ass.
It's a team sport as long as you got a quarterback.
All right.
So the Bourbon Street Takeover. Now you want to text Takeover, 345-345. Text Takeover, 345-345. The ordering for the trip, the group trip, up to New Orleans for opening day. Ira and Lee are going to be there. The commish, great event the night before. The whole package is supposed to be available at fanretreat.com on Thursday, right after July 4th. That's July 5th. So, but for now, to get your fast information and a heads up, text TAKEOVER to 345-345. More than 500 fans have dialed into that already.
I'm saving up some stories for that night, Stephen. And maybe even some Joe Bucks fan stories.
Oh.
A little behind the scenes of Messrs. DeKemper slash...
You're going to have to run that by Lee first.
There you go.
I don't care.
Nothing cleared without Lee. So anyway, fanretreat.com, that's your home. Get all your flights, hotels, wherever you're going. Going on vacation, go get your flights.
May I opine at this point?
Sports tickets, events tickets, use your Joe Bucks fan discount code at fanretreat.com. Opine away, Ira.
All right, Lee, now, you know, Steve's waiting. He's got a big door to open, and I expect him to open it, and I'm going to go through it. I understand that. But, Lee, I'll throw this out to you. I was thinking about this, you know. Boy, I feel a little bad for Cutter. Let's not forget the story from last year that, you know, that caused an uproar in Tampa. It was a bombshell. Jameis and Cutter are not getting along. Whether it's true or not, somebody planted that story.
It
made Cutter very uncomfortable. That's not fair.
No,
it certainly
not.
Didn't come from Dirk Cutter. We know that. So draw your own conclusions. And now Lee, tell me if I'm overstating the case, but based on what you said about 10 minutes ago, I don't think I am. How's Dirk Cutter looking at his quarterback? How's he looking at him? Can you trust him? Well, what's going on? I feel a little bad for Cutter right now.
I feel bad for Cutter. I mean, they knew this was coming. You know, Steve and I had heard through the grapevine that we were plugged in, and we had heard they were expecting four games. So it's not like this is a
You guys had good intel on this a month or two ago.
So it's not like this is a surprise to them. I'm sure Cutter's disappointed, but I feel bad for Cutter for this reason, and I'm going to circle back to what you got upset at me about. The Bucs are looking at 0-3 in the face. Some guys I've seen,
some NFL analysts,
and you're hold on to the bench here. You're going to freak out when I say this. Yep, that's your hold on to the bench. Some savvy NFL analysts are saying they wouldn't be shocked if it's 0-5.
Keep going. I thought he was going to say 0-16.
No.
Steve.
Does Cutter get a mulligan because Jameis screwed the pooch? No puns intended. Did he, because of his goof up? And they're starting, you know, he's starting without his quarterback.
My inclination is he doesn't get one. You know, it's year three. Two out of your 3 years are bad. 5-11 bad. 6-10 bad. You don't get a mulligan after that.
Not even with all these circumstances?
I don't think so.
Well, this is going to make you feel good, Ira. Brady Quinn. And this is just the flip side of the coin. Brady Quinn said the table is set for Jameis to be a savior.
You know, I saw that in the headline. I almost fell off my chair over there.
He said if Jameis comes in and they go 10-3 and make a playoff push, Jameis is all of a sudden, people grab him and hoist him in the air.
Yeah, I can't give Cutter a mulligan, mainly for the thing that Lee opened up with is because they knew this was coming. So this goes back to Lovie Smith stuff. You knew Quan Alexander was getting suspended. You knew Jameis was, you know.
Now you got time to get Fitzpatrick.
And you knew you were playing Tennessee. You know, Tennessee ready.
Yeah, exactly. Tennessee ready and all that. I mean, you had an inkling that Marcus Mariota might do a little, you know,
spread option.
So I can't give Cutter a mulligan.
Tennessee ready. That will go down in Bucks lore.
I can't give him a mulligan for anything because they have more talent than last year. Sorry, you've got more talent than last year. You've got more talent than 2 years ago, and Jameis is going to miss three games. We get
Look
it.
Look where they're playing again.
I get it, but what did you expect them to be with Jameis?
Hey, missed three games last year.
You're not going to be worse with Jameis.
I don't know that.
Well, I mean, if that's the case, just cut him right now.
Well, no, not necessarily.
No, the point is that there's no reason to expect him to go 0-3 in my head. Because that's not why you have a backup quarterback and defensive players and all this other stuff. The two out of three of them are home games. You can't just start penciling in losses at home. I just think, like I thought at the beginning of the year, if they go 8-8, and the fans don't want to hear this, is my opinion, but if they go 8-8, and if you start to peg the reality of what 8-8 looks like, that, hey, you beat some good teams, and the offense is moving the ball and things are better.
And Jameis plays good.
I think that brings back the band another year. I really do.
8-8 could save him, Lee, because of the Winston thing. It could save him. And now the table is set for Mr. Isbitz to bore in, like he says I do with the Glazers.
All right, Sage.
And ask a question on the minds of some of our listeners. I know it's common.
Minds of a lot of people. Ari, you've sat here on the podcast for months. Months,
and
really.
You better quote me accurately here. Go ahead.
And you said many, many times that if you believe – because the NFL lays out evidence that Jameis Winston did this. If you see the evidence that he grabbed this woman inappropriately, then you're done with him. Chop him up, as you've said. You've said you're done. You've said chop him up. Get him out of here was your favorite quote of last December, I think. And so the question that many people have of you is, Ira, where do you stand on that now?
I'm not going to weasel out here, DeKemper, and I'm not going to say because we don't see the 6-page explanation that we don't know, you know, what happened that night. We got a pretty good idea that he's guilty. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm reading too much into it.
I'm not
going to weasel out in that respect. But what I am going to say is this. Look, a couple of things. The first thing, and you might think I'm crazy here, Lee.
No.
Roy Cummings chewed me out a few hours ago when we taped the TV show when I told him what I was about to say. A year ago, Winston's hurt, and there's no debate as soon as he's healthy. Winston plays. Yeah. No debate. Zero.
Yeah.
I believe that's changed. And by that I mean, in the Isbitz hypothetical, Bucks are 2-1 somehow with Fitzpatrick. Winston eligible week 4. You know what I say? Take a seat. And I'll tell you why. Because it's no longer a sure thing that he's the quarterback of the future. He's not necessarily.
Oh, Fitzpatrick sure as hell is.
I'm sorry. He's not necessarily. But now you got to win. You got to win. And at that point, I'm not sure. You always had that thing to go back to. Well, he's the quarterback of the future. You got to play him. You got to give him more experience. Those days are over, Isbits. You can argue. You can write down anything you want over there. All right. Now, what do you do with him? I keep him for this year. I keep him. I don't chop him up. He's not expensive, relatively speaking. You got to win. But I'm telling you right now, if Fitzpatrick's playing well, I'm staying with Fitzpatrick. And I'll take it one step further. Barring a miracle, and in your words, it is a miracle, him going 10-3 if he plays 13 games. A miracle. Even the most ardent Buck fan's not expecting that. Barring that, I'm drafting a quarterback or I'm getting a quarterback next year, and I don't want Winston on my team, basically, 2019.
What
I'm moving on.
I hate to go this route.
Chopping up might have been a little too strong, but I'm moving on.
I hate to go this route because I think 90 times out of 100 it's BS. What could be the biggest distraction for the team if they do go 2-1?
Our podcast.
I actually think some there actually enjoy it.
The distraction is who's your quarterback the next week?
Bingo. If you have, if it's even a kernel in their mind, like, you know what, should we keep Fitzpatrick the rest of the season? Just cut your losses right now. No charades. Just cut your losses right now. Go get Sam Bradford as a backup.
You said
cut your losses
the rest of the season. I say Fitzpatrick as long as he's playing well.
What is
I'm sticking with him if he's playing. You got to win. You got to win to save your job. You got to win.
So you're going to go with the old Tom Landry move where you flip-flop Craig Morton and Roger Staubach every other series of that game?
Putting words in my mouth. I didn't say anything about a flip-flop.
It sure smells like that.
Fitzpatrick's 2-1. Fitzpatrick's my starter going into Windy City.
When has that ever worked in the NFL?
I didn't say anything about a flip-flop. If he wins that game, he's my starter after the bye week.
When has that ever?
I like that.
That has been tried in the NFL, but when has it ever worked?
The dynamic, Mr. Is, has been changed. Even from a Glazer standpoint. And they don't want to turn on Winston. They have to think right now. We don't know if he's our quarterback in the future. They have to be thinking that.
Two things are going. Well, guess who's going to make that call? It ain't going to be Cutter.
No,
it ain't going to be Light. If those guys start.
I'm saying those guys have to be second guessing.
If those guys mean Cutter and to a lesser degree Light, because you figure Light's going to have his 2 cents involved. If they're going to start monkeying around with Winston and with Fitzpatrick, they're done. They're dead men walking. They're done.
Now, if they go 10-6, they
there you go. Well, then, again, if you think Fitzpatrick's that good, you don't even screw around. You say, Jameis, sorry, bye. I don't think the Glazers would agree with that. You don't even screw around.
Oh,
the only time I can remember that working, the only time, David Woodley and Don Strzok. And that was, how, what, 25 years ago,
Steve,
30 years ago?
You might want to lower the volume on your module because I'm about to scream this.
Yes, sir.
He won 10 freaking games with the Jets a few years ago.
And what are fans? What are fans?
You know his receivers were? Eric Decker and Brandon Marshall.
What are Bucks fans screaming about right now? You know, Winston puts up all these stats. What has he not done? Why do fans think Mariota's a better quarterback? Playoffs. Was Fitzpatrick in the playoffs? He had one game.
They were 10-5. They went to Buffalo.
One game.
He had one bad game.
And he puked all over himself when they needed it the most.
He vomited all over himself.
Yes.
And
the man with Chris
Russo. And threw 31 touchdowns.
To me, there's just no way you could justify pulling Winston for Fitzpatrick unless you cut him.
Winston has done this to himself, Isbits. This is not something he's pulling out of a rabbit's hat.
Well, there's a lot of layers here, fellas.
I know Steve is leaning toward you.
A lot of layers here, fellas. Now,
at this point, I think it's doubtful that Winston is the quarterback of the 2019 Buccaneers. I'm not giving him $21 million.
There is doubt, but I don't know if it's doubtful. But I you know, you got better sources than I do.
Is he a $21 million quarterback?
Well,
that's another subject Steve and I will talk
that's
about.
That's a misnomer because that's what starting quarterbacks get. So if you deem him to be a starting quarterback, that's what he's going to earn. Mike Glennon earned $17 million last year. So that's the market. Market value is a whole nother animal. Now, look, you're correct, Ira, in that the dynamic has changed. The organization isn't looking at Jameis Winston now, and they won't be in September.
The way they looked at
right, the quarterback of the future. He's not that guy anymore because they're not sure. They're not sure.
They're not sure.
And rightfully so.
He might be, but they're not sure.
Oh, he very well might be, but they're not sure yet. So then you have to thrust yourself into what it looks like with Fitzpatrick playing well and they're 1-2 or 2-1. You know, Cutter knows he needs wins. If he likes the way if the offense is humming and they just went 1-2 because the defense crapped on itself, maybe he doesn't want to make the move, and I don't think the Glazers are going to stand in his way. The flip-flop thing, though, leaves dead on because that's not sustainable and it doesn't work. So you, for a long term now, but I don't think anybody at $1 is thinking long term.
Yeah.
So they want to win this year and see if Jason Light has assembled a team that can actually win. Has he assembled a defense that isn't the worst thing ever?
Then you make a decision on Winston next year.
Right, so they're not only looking at the future of Winston, they're looking at the future of Cutter and Mike Smith and Jason Light and the whole process. So it's so messy. They know they have to win. I think they'll leave it up to Cutter. Now, Cutter is a very loyal guy. Jameis is his guy. We don't know if Jameis has lost enough trust where he's not his guy. And now Fitzpatrick has been here. This is his second year. There's going to be a lot of bonding
if
there.
If you're Cutter, how could you not have lost some faith in Winston?
Well, you had to have, but are you going to go to that drastic of a route? You know, we were just talking earlier, and we both think it was a baloney report about friction. Well, there's going to be friction if he pulls up for Ryan Fitzpatrick. There's going to be a boatload of friction. That's walking on thin ice for Cutter, because if it doesn't work out, he's done. He's out, period.
I don't know how that decision would go over in the locker room. I'm not sure there's not going to be some people in that locker room that would applaud that decision.
Well, you look, we know, I think it's just reality that when you have 53 guys in the locker room,
there's going to be differing opinions.
There's 10 guys going into training. There are going to be 8 guys on the roster at least when they cut to 53 men who think Jameis Winston is a pervert and a weirdo and did nasty things and they don't want to be pals with him. That's just human nature. Doesn't mean they're not going to go out and do their job and to the best of their ability and play for him, but it's a very interesting thing.
What all three of us are saying in our own way is, what's ownership want to do? What's ownership?
Yeah, we just don't know.
That's the call.
And then there's the entertainment value of it all. If ownership sees a groundswell for Fitzpatrick and the team's winning, I don't think they're going to worry about Jameis Winston's psyche. And I've said it before. I think if he's that fragile mentally, then, you know, he's a veteran already. He's a veteran quarterback.
The key is what has been said. It's not a sure thing right now that Winston's the quarterback of the future. That is a major change in the dynamic.
And that's why I wrote last week, what they should have done with Doug Martin, and they didn't do, and it blew up in their face.
You're back with Doug Martin. What are you going to mention? Charles Sims in a minute?
Well, you want me to, I
shall. Go ahead.
Franchise tag Winston. Will it be pricey? Yeah, but it's a prove it.
When? For 19?
Yeah. And for 20, even if he works out.
Well,
for
19. Signed for 19. Yeah, he signed for 19.
I would for 20 and 21, because it's a prove it. If you have doubt in your mind, this is a way to prove it.
Guys, let me say this right now, and you can write whatever the hell you want, scribble on that piece of paper.
I'm not writing it.
You better
Eric.
Get a Manila folder next time. if he plays 13 games and goes 5-8, why would you stick with Jameis Winston? Why would you do that? He'd have a terrible record as an NFL starting quarterback.
Well, they're,
what you're saying is you got a terrible team around him.
You hear
your
Bill,
team stinks.
That's what Bill Polian said. Someone brought up.
Well, then Light's got to go.
Someone.
You're out.
Or at least Mike Smith.
Somebody's got to go.
Bill Polian. I know you respect. I respect the hell out of him. On Sirius NFL Radio, XM Radio, Sirius XM. I'm not going to be like Steve Dubin. He had trouble saying Sirius XM. It was either XM or Sirius. He said on NFL Radio last week, we're talking about Winston. Someone brought up the wins and losses. Because that's misleading. Because look how terrible that defense was.
It's not misleading for 4 freaking years, if it happened.
Wait a minute. Wait, what did he do last year? When I say last year, I mean 2016. What did he do?
He's 18-27, DeCamp.
Okay. But if
you know how I used to say 28-52, Dominic? Now I'm saying 18-27 Winston.
People are saying he can't win. He had him on the cusp of a playoffs 2 years ago. With a lesser team. Now, granted, that doesn't excuse.
You know why? Because for 5 weeks, this team played damn good defense. How do you like that?
He had some great games in there.
He had some.
Well, talented player. Didn't play well overall last year.
You easily forget Brian and Leftwich.
You said he played lousy in Dallas. Biggest game of the year. Played lousy.
He didn't play great. Look, I look at Jameis. I don't think Jameis is a bad quarterback. I just look at, in the realm of everybody, you grade him on a curve, he's average at best. And that may not be why they're going to invest in him and might have a little different view going forward, especially if these rookie quarterbacks come in again and do well, if you have that kind of situation again.
If you had no character issues, which they haven't until the Uber incident,
with
know,
the Bucks.
And by the way, for the, Bucks, for the people, you know, the Winston haters, and there's plenty of them out there,
yeah.
that say he's been screwing up ever since he's been a Buck. Show me. Show me. That's not true.
You're absolutely correct.
That's not true.
By the way, to be fair, this incident we're talking about happened in 2016. So, to the best of our knowledge, he's been clean for 2 years.
And you guys were watching me on Twitter last week. I did a Twitter frenzy. 90% of them were very negative. You know, yeah. Why is he apologizing, this and that? But I threw one tweet in at the end saying he's done a lot of good things in the community. Nobody's talking about that. It's a sad situation. Well, I got 5 different people saying, nobody cares. Ira, you're trying to excuse a sexual deviant. I did no such thing. I stated fact. And I'm not trying to excuse anything. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're trying to put things in context and get a life in full.
Mm-hmm.
He has not been a bad person since the day he's been a Buccaneer.
Except for that one night in Arizona.
Indefensible.
Yeah. Whoever wrote that to you about people don't care, and I generally agree with that, because what is the biggest complaint you hear about McCoy? You know, people don't like McCoy.
He's not serious enough about football?
He's not sad. They want a cartoon. They want a guy that's foaming at the mouth.
And Sapp's not known for doing stuff in the community.
Yeah. Nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, he did do a few things. Don't get me wrong. But, yeah, and they don't care. They want wins.
Well,
which is why people are bitching about wins.
Lee, you'll acknowledge that part of the reason this town was so in love with the Bucks when they were good, and
because
that's the biggest reason.
In the community,
But they were in the community. The Warwick Dunns were in the community. And
Warwick Dunn, one of the best ever.
Steve, that was part of the love affair.
But this team.
With the team. Everybody knew the faces. The Allstats and the Dunns and the Brookses, and they were doing a lot of good stuff.
It's funny you mention that, because I was talking to somebody last week, and I was saying, you know what? I don't understand why Jameis, instead of starting his own foundation and trying to run off and do his own thing, why didn't he initially latch on with Warwick Dunn or latch on with Derek Brooks's foundation just to, you know, to sort of ease into it.
See how it works.
And learn from those guys directly and attach himself to esteemed Buccaneers. It was just an interesting way that he chose to do what he does. It doesn't take away from the good work. It's just, I would have...
Steve,
do that, but not with the legends. He did that with Clinton McDonald. Clinton McDonald had a big foundation in the area, and he did latch on with McDonald, but McDonald's not Derek Brooks. He wasn't
Steve,
John Lynch.
What I'm saying is, Steve, about terms of his future, Lee... Maybe you can live with the middling record if he had no blemishes off the field. Now he's got this, and he's going to be a loser in terms of record. That's hard to swallow going forward.
You know, I'm going to go back to something that Steve brought up last night on Twitter. Did you hear anybody wailing about Jeremy Stevens? You know, he was a dirtbag personified, only until he got popped selling pot, allegedly, the night before a game.
Not the face of the franchise, though.
Not the face of the franchise, but no one was like, oh, my God, I can't watch a Bucks game because his sleaze bag's on the roster.
Well, what I said on Twitter, a lot of people were like that. Steve Dooming was leading the chorus.
Well, Steve was,
every other day, but he had his callers.
We had Kellen Winslow Jr. here.
But we had the people in the seats who were cheering for the guy, and there was no outcry, and that made a difference. So it's as if Tom Jones, you know, he wrote that column, now we'll see what the Glazers are made of. Jeremy Stevens was here 4 years. They redid his contract, gave him a new one. So, I mean, come on. They operate
and
how they operate.
He brought all kinds of baggage from Seattle.
Oh my gosh. Just Google Seattle Times Jeremy Stevens. Yeah. It's gut-wrenching.
I think it's hard for Winston to stay on this roster next year. I think it's going to be difficult.
He's got to prove that he's special, but he had to anyway. You know,
Now even more.
I think you said it best in the sense, Ira, the dynamic has changed. We don't know how it's changed. We don't know what's in the head of Team Glazer after you've spoken to them and how this all played out. I get the sense, Ira, maybe you can comment on this.
They were unwavering.
But I get the sense.
And now I'm not sure they're unwavering in their support.
Do you believe, and I don't, based on what you told me, but do you believe that Team Glazer, when you last talked to them, that they knew where Roger Goodell's investigation was at that point as far as the nitty-gritty and all the details?
Yes, they might not have known all the details, but I think they knew that it wasn't going to be favorable. It wasn't going to be a favorable decision.
Well, like I said, Steve and I heard the team was expecting 4 games. If the team was expecting that, you would think the Glazers knew all about it. Here's one for you about, you know, people outraged over this allegation, whatever the hassle
some
was.
Some are.
But, I mean, are you going to – a billion-dollar company going to run on some are? Didn't the Rays have a wife beater as a catcher last year?
I don't know enough about it. I know they can't find a catcher that can hit. But now they got this guy Ramos, and he might be an all-star. So there's my answer for that, Lee.
He's leading the voting, Sage. He's
that
going.
May be the best one-liner I've ever heard from Ira. Didn't they have a wife beater? Well, I know they got a guy that can't hit. That is beautiful. And I don't mean to make light of an ugly subject.
No, I don't mean
that. That still was a one-liner.
It was an unfortunate choice of words.
That was the best one-liner you've ever had.
All right, Sage. Sage, your podcast, of course, presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. They support all your nonsense. No, I'm just teasing you, Ira. I'm teasing your columns 3 days a week and your fiery podcast every Tuesday and Thursday. Definitely subscribe to the podcast. Free alert. You can listen on the beach. Listen on July 4th.
Am I still on the charts over there, Lee? You're not looking anymore.
Yes. Well, I don't have Google Play on my iPhone. It's two different animals.
You are on the charts, Ira. Top 50 Google Play, National Podcast Charts. And anybody can subscribe there. iTunes, Podbean, Google Play. You're still always the top most popular podcast. Bucks podcast on iTunes when it pops. So congratulations
there. Lee. Look out. Look out, top 50. I'm coming after you, Bill Simmons. Look out.
Now, we've got another podcast for Thursday, of course. There's no July 4th break for us. We'll be back.
We might get into Mr. Sweezy a little bit.
Yeah, we'll get into some of the other things going on with the Bucks and more from the Jameis situation. Yeah, the dynamic. You got me thinking. You always get me
That's
thinking.
That's a perfect word, baby.
Well, because you're right. It's changed the dynamic of how everybody views Jameis's future, which makes it very interesting. You've given me some different perspective to think about. Peter Schrager was on. He was on Good Morning Football, and
he's got a big place in his heart for the Bucks.
I don't know, but not so much for
the organization.
Yeah,
for the organization.
But he was talking about how made it very clear. Look, there's not one other starting quarterback in the league that has this nonsense hanging around him. None. He's the only one, and ownership knows it. And when you're the only one, and it's a bad only one. It makes a difference.
You're not winning
games. And you're not winning.
And you're not winning. So it's not a good look.
Lee, I'll say it again. They don't want to turn the page on Jameis Winston. It would be difficult, but they'll do it if they have to. They'll do it.
They're the ones that said bye-bye to Derek Brooks, weren't they? Not so much Dominic.
It won't be difficult if they're 6-10. I don't think they'll have a problem doing it. The fan outcry isn't going to be, oh, my gosh, save Jameis.
They've been so effusive in their praise for Winston. Since he became a Buck. Unwavering.
They got cover now.
They got cover now.
All right, Ira, we're going to go out on this. We got 2 minutes to go here. Ira, and I know you were ranting the other day. I want Jameis on a podium. I want light. I want Cutter on a podium. I want explanations. I want this addressed. The Glazers, light, Cutter, the leadership of this franchise. They're in the bunker. They're hiding. I don't know what they're doing. What the hell is going on? They send out a statement. They don't even sign it. And
guys,
that's it.
The guys at the podium, DeKemper, I can't even find the NFL statement on Buccaneers.com. What's that about? They got the Buck statement, and they only got the NFL statement. So I slapped them around a little bit for that last week. I think that's legit. It's NFL news. You got to put it out there. In other words, what are you responding to? You got the Buck statement. What are you responding to? I need the NFL statement. So, look, that's not going to happen. We all know it. Light's not going to any podium. We're lucky we get Mike Smith talking about this defense at the podium. Forget about Jason Light.
I hear you, Sage. I can't believe they didn't put out a statement. I mean, come on.
Look,
I mean,
Jameis has to show up day one, doesn't he, of training camp? Doesn't he have to go to the podium?
Nope.
Doesn't have to. We would like him to, but he doesn't have to.
There's no rules on talking in training camp, and he's not even the opening day starter. They're going to parade Fitzpatrick out there, have a Fitzpatrick parade.
I think they're going to hide Winston. You're right.
I'll tell you one thing. They're going to get Ryan Fitzpatrick ready for New Orleans. That's a whole other subject. I want to hit that on Thursday. Roy Cummings raked me over to Colesley when I said, let's not have any nonsense that this is going to be an open competition between little Ryan Griffin and Ryan Fitzpatrick. Roy goes, it's absolutely going to be an open competition. Griffin's going to win it.
A guy's never taken a snap in the NFL, and they need 3 wins.
That's more fodder for us Thursday.
Roy's out of his mind. Ira, we're going to close this podcast with a very special nugget for fans, your Dirk Cutter texting story that you promised, and now we're going to deliver. The floor is yours.
This is an R-rated story, Mr. DeKemper. You know, I'm going to run out of stories one of these days, Steve. I was going to save this for the takeover in New Orleans, but you brought it out today, so here it goes. It was the day after the Bucs signed Jason, traded for Jason Pierre-Paul. I was asked to go on Pro Football Talk. You know Mike Florio very well over there, Steve. So I went on with Florio, and we chatted, and I applauded the move. I said I'd trade a third-round pick any day for Jason Pierre-Paul. They need the help. knowing they had already signed, you know, guys in free agency. But Pierre Paul's a proven pass rusher. So anyway, I was talking up the Bucs' point of view. I said they made a run at Robert Quinn, and they didn't get him. They didn't show much interest in bringing Michael Bennett back. But they landed Jason Pierre-Paul. Well, towards the end of the show, Steve, a few minutes later, Florio asked me, hey, Ira, out of those three guys, JPP, Michael Bennett, and Quinn, 2, 3, 4 years down the road, who's going to be the most productive guy out of those three? So I thought about it, and I said, well, it might be Quinn, because he's the youngest. He's in his prime. Quinn's in his prime. I don't think we could argue JPP's in his prime. And so the show ended, and I didn't think anything about it. It was a Friday. I think they traded for JPP on a Thursday. The show was on a Friday. Friday morning. And I believe it's simulcast on TV. So that night, you know, my wife making the sage a nice dinner. Might have been stuffed shells or something over there, Lee. And it's about 7 o'clock. All of a sudden, I got my phone on the table. Ding. Text message. Ah, who's that? I look down. Dirk. You know, I got him on my contact list, listed as Dirk. I said, it's the head coach. Oh, what did he say? I look at the text. And, you know, he kind of questioned my answer about Quinn. You know, he thought he's not going to be the best for the next 3 or 4 years out of that trio. So, look, I didn't want to get into a Twitter war with Dirk Cutter. So all I said was, in response, When Robert Quinn has been healthy, he's been productive.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I stand by that. I didn't think anything of it. So this is like mid-March, you know. 2 weeks later, the three of us are in Orlando at the NFL owners meetings at, what is it, the Grand Cypress Lakes or whatever. And, you know, I'm staying at, you know, Motel 6 down the road over there because Izvitz doesn't want to pay for Grand Lakes. It's about $350. So I'm in my place. So they always have a Monday night party. Always have a Monday night party. And media's invited. GM's walking around, coaches, owners. It's a great 2-3 hours on Monday night. So my wife and I walk in. We get our drink, get our appetizers. We sit at a table.
Sherry?
Carrie.
Can I tell a funny one here?
I don't believe you're allowed to interject over here.
No, this is too funny because nobody invited your wife to the party. But I said that to you in when you
were.
What
do you mean? Spouses. There's spouses,
I've never seen that it's officially written that you can bring your spouse. But which is funny because you're sitting there, you're talking with your wife with Donald Penn, you're talking deep inside football and schmoozing with all these other people. And I'm like, Ira, you're just going to walk right through the door like you own the place with your wife. You're like, absolutely. Here I go.
Where does it say that Izbitz interjects in my story, Lee? Does it have written somewhere that he, you know, and I'm losing my rhythm now because of him. Anyway, we finish our drinks. Now, I notice 3 tables down. What do I see? Jason Light and his wife, Dirk Cutter and his wife. They're at their table. They got their spot. They're having a drink and some food. So
Cutter's not enjoying life.
15 minutes go by, and you know, we finished our wine or whatever, and so
whatever.
So I say to my wife, you know, walk me over to the Bucks table. She goes, why?
Your wife?
Yeah, I said, walk me over. I need you for protection. I figured, you know, Cutter's not too thrilled with me anyway. Light is always looking at me squirrely. So I go, you know, you're my protection. So we walk. Light sees me coming. He says, right to Cutter, and, you know, here comes trouble, Dirk. You know, right away. I go, take it easy, gentlemen. I got my wife here. Oh, Mrs. Kaufman, pleasure to meet you. I don't know how you're living with this guy. You know, I've gotten all that
she
ribbon.
She confused everything.
Yeah, ribbon all the time. So I look right at Cutter's wife, who I know, Kim. I said, Kim, I got a story about your husband. What? You got a story? Now, Light didn't even know about this texting thing. He didn't know.
What, was his wife text you?
He didn't know that Cutter texted me, Jason Light.
Light,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, so Light didn't know. This is all new to him. So Cutter's, you know, now he's got his rabbit ears up. What's Ira going to say? So I said, your husband texted me 2 weeks ago on a Friday night, you know, having dinner with my wife. Oh, what did he say? Lee, it's just one of these things that come out. I don't know where the heck it came from, but I did a dramatic, a dramatic pause. That's the key. You got to have the dramatic pause.
Producer.
And now they're all waiting for my answer. And I said, he said I'm an asshole. The whole table went crazy. Light dropped his glass. Light's wife's laughing. Kim says to Dirk, "Dirk, how can you say that about Ira?" Cutter looks at me. He goes, "I didn't say that." I said, "But you meant it." And he goes, "Absolutely, Kaufman." And when I walked away from the table, even Cutter was laughing about it. So it was a good icebreaker.
So you buttered him up for me then.
It was a good icebreaker, but it's the first time that the a-hole word was used at a at an NFL Monday night meeting.
You think so?
Not really. Not really.
I was going to say, all this writer, here comes the a-hole.
And so I reminded Cutter about it, at the OTAs or whatever. He goes, "That was a hell of a line, Ira. That was a hell of a line. But I didn't use that word." I go, "No, but you meant it." He goes, "Oh, you got the meaning absolutely right." And that's my story, baby.
Quality story, Sage. We'll see you on Thursday.